So yes, my name is Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just want to give a warm welcome to anyone that's visiting today. And I'm just excited about what God's doing in this house. And I just wanted to share the other week we're having our monthly prayer meeting, and we were just spending some time in silence, waiting on the Lord. And God gave me this vision of us actually dancing with Jesus, and we were just like in this, we just had this beautiful dance, and we were looking at him face to face. We were looking at his eyes, and there was just this beautiful moment where he was leading us, and the dance was beautiful. It was graceful. It just flowed. But every time we became preoccupied with our steps and we tried to take control and we tried to lead, we would stumble and it would become clumsy. But every time we just went back to his face and we looked at his eyes and he's like, you can trust me. It was this beautiful, again, effortless dance. And just the other day I was listening to this sermon by Vicky DiRazio, or Vicky Simpson, some of you would know. And she said, 2 weeks ago, God gave me a picture, and it was a picture of a dance. And she said, we were with Jesus and we were looking at his face, and he was saying, you can trust me. Because when we look at someone face to face, it is a picture of intimacy, but it's also a picture of trust. And he was saying, will you lead me in this next season? Will you allow me to take charge? And it was just so confirming to me. And the scripture that came to mind was, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will make your path straight, or I will direct your steps. And I think we're coming into a place where there is a new season. We've been talking about that, but as we look at his face, as we lock our eyes with him, we would just enter into this beautiful season of grace. And I feel like we're entering into that just where it's easy, where things happen not because we're just laboring and it's hard work, but as we seek his face, I just really feel like he's doing things effortlessly. Amen. So I just wanted to share that. That's not my message, but just encourage us in that, that we would seek him with all our hearts, and the Bible says, and we will find him. So if you haven't been with us the last month or so, we've been talking about Holy Spirit gifts. And we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation gifts, gifts of power. We've been looking at Romans 12, which is the motivational gifts. And there's also Ephesians 4, the ministry gifts, where God, they're offices that God gives us to the church to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to come into maturity. And so today I want to be looking at the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's just open our Bibles there, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now I'm going to read from the New King James Version because I really like the way that they describe wisdom and knowledge in this way, because they talk about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and I think that's a better understanding of these two gifts. So in verse 1 it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And then it goes on to say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And then it goes on to all the other gifts we've been looking at. But it's one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now I just want to pause on verse 1, because Paul says to the church, now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Or in the NIV, it says, I do not want you to be uninformed. And I find that word ignorant is quite interesting. It actually comes from the Greek word agneo, and it's where we get our English word agnostic from. And so agnostic is usually referring to someone's thoughts about God, belief about God, where they're not sure whether he's real or not. But in regard to this, it's actually talking about spiritual gifts. And Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed. He wants us to be informed. Not being informed about something is not necessarily our fault, but choosing not to be certainly is. And so that's why we've been taking time out as a church to not be ignorant about spiritual gifts, to actually look at each one in detail so that we understand how they operate in the body of Christ and so that we can be more effective, therefore, in its use. So that we can be mature saints, as Ephesians 4 talks about. And that's the goal. The goal is maturity in the word, but also maturity in our walk, where we operate in love to build up the body of Christ. So I want to first look at word of knowledge, and then we're going to look at word of wisdom. And this is probably more of a teaching message today, so you might want your pen and paper out. There's going to be a few things we're going to go through, or your phones out to take notes. But let's first, like what we did with the discerning of spirits, we looked at what it isn't, which is sometimes more helpful, and then what it is. So what it isn't, word of knowledge is not knowledge or understanding or revelation into the scriptures. Now, some Christians believe that's what it is, that it's insight into the scriptures in order that we can be better teachers of the word. Now, knowledge is important, and the Holy Spirit does give knowledge. He does open up the scripture to us to make the Logos word, which is the written word, become the Rhema word, which is the quickened word that the Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts. And that's important, but that's not what the word of knowledge is about here. And it's not Gnosticism, which was what meant special knowledge, which a certain group in the Bible believed that they had attained this special knowledge, but it was unbiblical and it had become more like a cult. So what is word of knowledge? Well, logos means word and gnosis means knowledge. But Barry Chan, who's written a book on spiritual gifts, and he was the founder of Tabor Bible College, a great man where he can really understand the things of the Spirit but also biblically discern. And he says a word of knowledge is an utterance enabled by the Holy Spirit that supernaturally reveals facts that would otherwise remain unknown. And so it's a word that the Holy Spirit, or it might be like a message, that the Holy Spirit gives us that we wouldn't have known otherwise. And it's usually about a situation or a person in the present or past. Now that's important, because the prophetic is often about what is to come. A word of knowledge is about what has already been or what is already happening. Now, why would we need to know about what's already happening in someone's life? Why is it helpful? Why is it helpful to know about maybe past stuff? Now, this is different to the world's way of psychics and all that. This is not that. This is from Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never wants to bring shame. He never wants to bring embarrassment. He never wants to bring condemnation. And that is how we determine whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. And so I think we need to be careful that the word of knowledge is actually coming from him and not from any other source. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes, but I felt I needed to clarify that. So why is it helpful to have word of knowledge at use in the body of Christ? I've known people that have given someone their name. Now, why would you need to know your name? Do you not already know your name? And I think the point of it is that God knows, that God loves you and he knows you and you matter to him. And so it's not necessarily about the knowledge, it's about the heart that God wants to communicate in that moment. It's often useful as an answer to a problem that God just gives divine insight. And I'll give some examples as we go through so that you understand a bit more. It reveals often God's intent and his will to heal or work in a situation. And sometimes that might be physical healing, but sometimes it's used for emotional healing. And I remember a story that Graham Cook, I don't know if you're aware of Graham Cook, he is a prophet and he has taught a lot on hearing the voice of God and how God has used him in the prophetic and in the word of knowledge. And he was at an elders meeting and there was a girl there that they wanted to pray for that had come because she wanted to be a missionary to China. And so he was asked to pray for her, and all of a sudden he got in his quickened in his mind, I hate mummies and daddies. And he was like, now he's a seasoned prophet, so just you've got to work in the area of faith that you've been given. So he's been doing this for years. But he heard this phrase, I hate mummies and daddies. And so he just waited on that. He's like, that's a bit strange. I'm not sure whether to give that. So he just waited on the Lord. And it came again, tell the girl, I hate mummies and daddies. And so he waited again. And again, it came stronger. Tell this girl, I hate mummies and daddies. And so he said, I feel like the Lord would say, I hate mummies and daddies. And in that moment, this girl broke down and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, because what was unknown to anyone there was that she had been abused growing up, and the name of that game was mummies and daddies. And what God was communicating in that moment was, I saw that, I hate that, and that is not of me. And through that, she actually came into a place of healing. And you know, and so often, like I remember once my dad got given a word, and I think I've shared this here, from someone, peanut butter. You've heard this story, peanut butter. And this lady was wrestling with this. This doesn't make sense. And that's the point, is that like often our mind takes over and we try and rationalize it and we try and make it, we try and understand it in our natural mind. But we're not operating in the natural wisdom or the natural realm. And so, and again, it takes, I guess, discernment to kind of go, is this the voice of God? But my dad hated peanut butter. And he wouldn't let us have peanut butter at our house. But we all loved peanut butter. My mum loved it. Our kids loved it. And so it was almost like the humour of God that he would tell someone to say, I'm not sure what this means, but peanut butter. And he's like, oh, he's kind of like twitching over the peanut butter. But from that day, we were allowed peanut butter in the house. God cares even about peanut butter. But the natural mind understands not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness, which is 1 Corinthians 2. And so we don't hear necessarily God in the natural, we hear him in our spirit. But this is often useful in physical healing, because it helps the person come into a place of faith. And it often helps the person that is giving the word of knowledge come into a place of faith, because we know in that moment that God wants to heal. And that happened to me. I can't remember if I've shared this, but just this year you've known I've struggled with my health, and I ended up finding that I had a tick-borne illness that came on very suddenly on Christmas Eve. And I was robbed of my energy, my capacity. I was fatigued. I was in pain. And it got worse and worse and worse. And I started to have glimpses of breakthrough and glimpses of healing. But we had a meeting here called His Voice. And it's a meeting where all the pastors gather together. And there was one pastor who was sharing around communion and suddenly had a word of knowledge. And he said, there's someone here that has, I can see there's been a disease that's been running through your blood, and it's robbed you of strength, and it's been this thing that's come over you and come against you. But the Lord would say that as you begin to plead the blood of Jesus, as you take communion, as you begin to every time it comes that you just speak the name of Jesus over you, that he's going to heal you of that. And I knew that was me. I looked up, does tick diseases get in the blood? And they do. They become chronic. They do. And that's why it was affecting every part of my body. And so he had a word of knowledge, but also a word of wisdom to say, as you take communion, as you begin to confess Jesus over you, you'll be healed. And then I had another great breakthrough at Victory Conference, and I thought I was completely healed. And then 2 weeks ago, I was at his voice again, and all of a sudden, this fatigue came upon me again, and I'd had it the day before, and I thought, oh no, here we go again. And we were doing communion, and suddenly I remembered his words, that as you take communion and speak Jesus over you and declare the blood of Jesus over you, you will be healed. And so I was like, no, I'm not accepting this. I'm taking communion, and I just began to confess healing again, confess the blood of Jesus. And God was just doing stuff. And you know, that then lifted. After that meeting, I walked out no longer fatigued, and I have not had that fatigue come on me again. I've not had that pain come on me again. So what Word of Knowledge does is it shows you specifically the heart and the will of God, that he wants to work in a situation, and it helps you come into that place of faith. And I've just been so blessed by that. And it's given me a word of wisdom, which I'll get into, to then know what to do. And so that I don't doubt if it comes upon me again, I can declare Jesus into that situation. So let's look at some biblical examples of how this works. The most famous one is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in John 4, verses 4 to 30. And I won't read all the scripture, but we know that she went out at midday to draw water from the well, and there she met Jesus. Now, Jesus operated in both natural knowledge here and supernatural. So he would have known that it was custom to go and get the water at the break of dawn, so at first light. But if you'd been ostracized, then you wouldn't come out at that time when all the other women were coming. You would go alone when no one else was watching. So he would have known all about that. So he starts with the conversation along those lines, but in the middle of it, he says, you don't just have one husband, you have five husbands. And God gave him, the Father gave him through the Holy Spirit, a word of knowledge in that time. And then from that brought freedom to her and brought healing and lifted off that shame and brought him and showed who he was. Throughout the book of Acts, we also see this time and time again. And you will often find that when you speak a word of knowledge, you had no prior knowledge. Like it's surprising, it just comes upon you. And so in Acts 5, I'm going to run through these quite quickly, so if you just want to write down some examples. But Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Peter knew Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Spirit. He knew they had secretly agreed to this lie. So he knew things supernaturally by the Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 23, Peter knew Simon had bitter envy and sin in his heart. Acts chapter 10, verse 19, Peter knew that three men had come to see him on behalf of Cornelius. And so there was this supernatural knowledge before things happened, or to show what was happening in a situation. And that's often useful because then we know how to pray. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with how it comes, and some of you probably operate in this gift and some of you don't. But I'm really just going right back to the beginning, so we're all on the same page. But I find that word of knowledge is something that God often gives, not often, God does give me. And it's really like a knowing in your spirit. is like this, it just, there's weight to it. It's not guesswork, it's not a hunch. It's not kind of vague, it's like this strong, like you just know. And you don't know how you know, but you just know. And so the most common way of receiving a word of knowledge, which we see through the Bible, is that they heard it or they thought it. It might not be, it's often not audibly, but you hear it in your mind. And so, for example, I once lost my phone, and you might have heard this story, I can't remember what I've shared here and what I've shared at other churches, but I lost my phone at the shops, and it had all my bank cards in it. And I was like, God, no. I just couldn't remember where I went with it. So I'm searching around. I'm looking for it. And all of a sudden, I walk past this person and I felt this thought comes, they've got your phone. And I thought, no, I'm not going to go up to that person and say, you've got my phone. Like, if I'm wrong, like, that could be quite embarrassing. So I just pushed it away and I ignored it. And I went and found a shop assistant and I said, look, my phone's gone. Can you please help me find it? Can we ring it? So we rang it a few times. On the third time, someone answered, hello? And I said, you've got my phone. And they said, no, we found it. We'll return it to the service desk. And as I was walking to the service desk, the person that I felt God say, they've got your phone, they were the person that had my phone. And if I had just simply recognized and obeyed, it would have saved the 10, 15 minutes of complete panic and stress that I went into thinking that I'd lost everything. This also happened then the week after at the park. I was going through a clumsy season and I lost my keys. I'd gone for a walk, I'd been in the park, then we went for a walk down by the river and I came back and I realized I didn't know where my keys were. And so I said, Holy Spirit, show me, where are my keys? And straight away, I saw a person and I felt God say, they know where your keys are. And I should have learned, yeah? But I didn't. And so I was like, no, don't be silly. But I said, what I did do is I said very loudly to my child so that they would hear, do you know where my keys are? I've lost my keys. Anyway, the person heard and they said, oh, are you the person that lost your keys? I handed them into the kiosk 45 minutes ago. They're over there. And, you know, it's beginning to recognize and discern the voice of God. And again, it so encouraged me. It's like, begin to ask the Holy Spirit. And my mum taught me this. Grandma taught us this. She would lose things all the time. But she knew the voice of God. And God, she would say, Holy Spirit, where have I put this? And God would, she would hear something, she would see something. She would know where that thing was. And so we would often do that when we lost things. The other thing that you can, the way you can get your, sorry, the word of knowledge, is you can feel it. If you're a feeler, like if you more sense things, often you'll get a pain that isn't your pain. And as you get older, it's good to develop other senses because I've been told this. Randy Clark was teaching on this, and he said I had to learn other ways of hearing God because this was my primary way. But as I got older, into my 60s and so on, I would feel all kinds of pains. And so God had to teach me another way of receiving words of knowledge. You can get it as a smell. I remember Jolene at our ordination. She said, when you were prayed for, all I had was I could smell fresh bread. And what she didn't know was at my baptism at 13, I'd been given a word and said, your life is like flour that's been dedicated unto God, but God is turning you into bread that would feed many people and be scattered upon many nations, and you would teach the word of God and you would teach truth. And it was just such confirmation and a blessing that she just got a smell. And so we have to be obedient to even those small things because we don't know the greater impact that they have. Sometimes we might have a taste And sometimes we might read it. And this happened, I lost my wedding rings, all three of them. Lost all of them. And I'd like... all three of them. How many times have I been married? Once. But I got three rings and I were wearing all my... Word of knowledge. No, that's wrong. I had my engagement ring and my wedding ring and this other ring that I'd been given. All of them gone, and we were praying, and God didn't give me anything. And my mum was reading this book, and there was part of it was a lady had lost all her jewelry in the garden, and they had found it in the garden. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit quickened to her and said, "Kyla's rings are in the garden." And so anyway, I was decided to keep searching for it in the garden and in the grass. And all of a sudden, I saw this glint of gold just shining. And I went over and there was one of my rings. It was in the garden. And then I kept looking and I found another ring. But I couldn't find the third ring. So then I prayed for a word of wisdom. Show me what to do, Lord. How do I find it? And I thought, I know. I'm going to ring up Bruce, which was Bruce Wilson. He's passed on now. I know he has a gold detector. So I'm going to ring him up at the village and I'm going to go borrow his gold detector because I know that my ring's in the garden. I just don't know where it is. So that afternoon I got the gold detector out and then I found the third ring in the garden. So it's amazing how God uses this gift, but we're not to box it. And that's why I want to explain how God can use it. So how do we give it? What I want to say, if it's in the public service, in a church service, we do the same protocol. We go down the front and just say, this is what I'm sensing. But if you're new to this gift, what I want to encourage you first is that you actually begin to develop it, practice it. And when I say practice, I mean like I did. Just start to learn how to discern the voice and you begin to know what's you and what's not you the more you step out in faith. And you do that in small groups. And that's why I love connect groups, because that is often how we can use our gifts in a safe way where it's okay to get it wrong. We give it humbly. If you're not sure you're right, it's okay to say so. It doesn't actually take away the spiritual side by saying, I'm not sure if this is right, but this is what I got. I think when you're first starting out, you don't try to overcomplicate it or interpret it, because sometimes you might give, okay, I'm getting this, this and this, and if you were to get one thing wrong, which can happen, then often the person says, oh no, that's not for me, because you had two things or three things right, but you got the last one wrong. And we're still learning, we're still growing. We prophesy in part, we operate in part. We don't always get the full knowledge, because then we would be God if we knew everything. And then we ask God for a word of wisdom. How do we use this? And I love the fact that, you know, in this church we're encouraging, like if you get a word and you feel it's for today, then come and give us. And up the front as pastors and elders, we're praying, Lord, give us wisdom. Is this for now? Is this for later? Is this a few? And sometimes we might not say yes. It's not that it was wrong. It's just maybe we're just saying it's not the right time. And so, Lord, give us wisdom in how to use the gifts. All right, so that's a word of knowledge. Let's move on to word of wisdom. So wisdom is the ability to use knowledge for the correct purpose. Knowledge is objective, but wisdom is descriptive. It shows us what to do in a situation. And all Christians are to ask for wisdom on how to live. James wrote this in chapter 1. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. However, the Bible also speaks about the word of wisdom, the spiritual gift of the word of wisdom. And that is not the same thing as wisdom that we're all called to have, heavenly wisdom. So this is a word that comes. So let's first look at what is it not. So firstly, it's not natural wisdom. Earthly wisdom is foolishness, it says, to heavenly wisdom. And so what can seem like a good idea is not necessarily the wisdom in the heart of God. But it's also not spiritual wisdom. And this is what I was trying to explain before. Jesus grew in wisdom, and we're all called to grow in knowledge and wisdom. But this is the word of wisdom, is supernatural wisdom that is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that comes about through studying the scripture and through learning and through walking with the wise and praying. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit gifts us. And I'll explain, hopefully it will become more clear as we go along. So the word of wisdom, like wisdom, shows us what to do with knowledge. It gives you the insight or wisdom for direction. It is a knowing what to do about something that was previously unknown that we wouldn't have even thought of. I don't know if you've ever had those moments where something's just come out of your mouth and everyone goes, wow, that was good. And you're thinking, wow, that was good. Has anyone had that? Where you're like, whoa, that was... Well, sorry to burst your bubble, but actually that's not you. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's like a flash across your mind. It pops into your spirit, and you sometimes don't even know that you've done it until everyone goes, gee, that was good. And I think it's important to remember, because God gives grace to the humble. And as we humble, we will grow more and more in these gifts, because God can trust us with these gifts. So let's have a look at some biblical examples. The most, I guess, well-known one is when Solomon has two women and they are working out which is their baby. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 28, we know the story where two women have a baby and they are sleeping with their baby in separate beds, and one of the mums rolls over and crushes her baby, and the baby dies. So what she does is she grabs the baby that's alive and swaps it and puts the dead baby with the other woman. In the morning, the mum realises, this is not my baby. The babies have been swapped. So she goes to King Solomon, and Solomon has a word of wisdom in that moment. He says, well, to work it out, what we'll do is we'll cut the baby in half and you can have half each. And the mother, the true mother, breaks down and weeps and says, no, don't do that to the baby, just give it to the other one. And the other woman says, yeah, that's a good idea, then none of us will have a baby. And Solomon in that moment knew who the true mother was. So we so desperately need the gift of the word of wisdom. Because I don't know about you, but in my role, even as chaplain, I have people come to me, you know, wanting advice. And we've got to be careful that we're not operating out of natural wisdom and natural worldly advice, but actually we are communicating the heart and the mind of Christ. And that would come as a word of wisdom, that we would begin to ask, Holy Spirit, give me words of wisdom so that we know what to do, so that we can bring healing and see your kingdom come in this world. Jesus often moved in word of wisdom. Now, he was the wisdom of God, but he operated in this gift. In Matthew 22, Jesus caused the crowd to be in awe at the wisdom of how he responded to the taxes. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And so he often had insight into things where people were trying to trick him. And he would just have the wisdom, word of wisdom in that situation. Often the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge come together. I want to give you another example that happened. Graham Cook again was sharing this story, and he was asked to pray for two pastors. It was at a staff meeting, and he was praying for two pastors, and God gave him a picture. Again, this is how word of knowledge can happen, of the assistant pastor stabbing the senior pastor in the back. And so in that moment, he said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do with that picture?" And this is where a word of wisdom came. And he said, "Have those two men stand back to back and begin to speak the opposite, how I've called this assistant to help this man and to speak truth and to encourage and to be a protector and to protect his back against the onslaught of the enemy." And so he began to do that, and all of a sudden the assistant pastor just broke down and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And he said later to Graham, "You don't know what's been happening and what's been in my heart." And Graham said, "Yes, I do know. But God wants to bring reconciliation here." And he led him in repentance. And he went on to say that those two pastors became so unified and did so much for the kingdom together for the next 10 years. We need words of wisdom when we're operating in the spiritual gifts. Otherwise, we can do so much damage. A personal example of how this works is in 2020, Dave and I were praying about direction. And Dave had on his heart that God was maybe changing his direction, and he was wondering about, do I study at Bible college? Now, he's a full-time teacher, and we were thinking, you know, we want to know that this is not just a good idea, but actually this is your heart, Lord. And so he went and met with a friend of his who's a Baptist minister, because the Bible says, seek out wise advice. And he told him his idea of studying at Bible college and did he have to leave teaching and all these things. He said, "Tell me what you would do." And his Baptist friend looked at him and said, "You want God to tell you what to do. And while he can, he's probably not going to. He wants you to make a decision, ask for his wisdom and make a decision. Yes, we need to step out by faith, but most of us don't because we're afraid of making a mistake and getting it wrong." But he said, "Don't you think that if God is sovereign and you do make a mistake, that God can turn it around for good? So if it's in your heart and it's been in your heart for a long time, then step out. Ask God for wisdom and then step out, whether that's a yes or a no." Anyway, the following week we were at a church that we were visiting and a family friend was preaching, a pastor up at Port Hedland. And at the end of the service he had a word of knowledge and he said, "There's someone here that is seeking the Lord about direction and thinking about changing direction. Who is that?" And I'm nudging Dave in the elbows and I'm thinking, yes, the Baptist minister was wrong. God is going to tell us exactly what to do. And anyway, Dave went up the front and the pastor prayed for him and he said, I'm just reading my notes, I get it right. "You are wanting God to tell you exactly what to do, but God isn't going to do that. He's given you a brain and he wants you to make a decision." Again, wisdom to decide. And so we decided in that moment he was going to study, but the finer details had to be worked out. And so as we met with his the principal and we worked all of that out, it became apparent. And he's just finished his second year of Bible college where he's stepped out and doing one day a week and continuing to teach. You know, that we wrestled, "God, show us what to do." And he was saying, "Ask me for wisdom and make a decision and trust that you've been given wisdom to make a decision." So how do we receive, and I'm just finishing up here, how do we receive a word of wisdom? I find it often is something that you're actually completely unaware of until it's been spoken. And then you're like, ah, and it just kind of comes out. It just almost like spills out of the overflow. Or it might be that it flashes across your mind and God just gives you the answer. Or it may come in a dream and you're dreaming, you just know what to do. So while a word of wisdom is a spiritual gift, the Bible talks to us a lot about walking in wisdom. And so we can't be dumb until we have a word of wisdom. We actually have to walk in wisdom and knowledge. We can't be lacking all knowledge and we don't study the scriptures and we don't spend time with God because we're relying on a word of knowledge. It's not instead of. It's not an excuse for laziness. We have to be disciplined, mature children of God. But the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is not something that we can get from studying all the scriptures and praying and growing in wisdom like Jesus did, because it's a gift. It's a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we don't pray and ask Holy Spirit for a word of wisdom, but I want to explain the difference. See, Ephesians says, be alert, wake up. I want you to walk in wisdom. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says that the wisest thing we can do is get wisdom. But I find that the word of wisdom is often for specific situations, but we need spiritual wisdom to walk in day by day. See, the Apostle Paul often prayed or encouraged the church to walk in wisdom. And I want to just finish with this verse that was really quickened to me, where it sums up the things we've been talking about. Colossians 1 verse 9 to 10. It says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. See, God wants us to grow in spiritual wisdom like Jesus did. Jesus, it says, is the wisdom of God. And we're called as Christians to have the mind of Christ, to operate in the wisdom of Jesus, that we wouldn't be relying on our natural wisdom that often looks foolish to what God is saying. And there's so much in the Bible about wisdom, and we're not teaching on wisdom today, we're teaching on the word of wisdom. But it comes as we study the scripture and we walk with the wise and we get to know God more and more. And then it says, as we do that, then the way we live will always honor and please the Lord, and we will produce good fruit. But the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge is supernatural that the Holy Spirit gives us. It's not taught, it's gift given. But I believe by understanding these gifts, we can learn to recognize it more and more. And we can be encouraged. We can get a heart for it. Like, as a young person, I would often say, God, I want wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Give me words of wisdom. And it's interesting that it's the first gift that Paul mentions. We need wisdom. See, I believe that there's some of you that are stuck right now. And maybe like us, you were saying, God, show me what to do. If you need a word of wisdom right now, I just want you to stretch out your hands. I'm just going to ask Holy Spirit to give you a word of wisdom in the situation, and that you would have discernment and recognition to know that it's the Lord. I feel like there's problems here that you've been trying to solve. And it's almost like I see people banging their head against the door. That you be found in you. That you would give the answer to situations that can only be found in you. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would release the wisdom of Christ into hearts right now. It would almost be like a flashlight, like a light bulb moment. Why didn't I think of that before? I pray, Lord, that you would visit people in the night. Lord, that you would give them dreams. Lord, that you would give them visions, that you would give them just pictures and show them your wisdom into situations. Father, we repent where we've tried to operate in our own wisdom. Father, we need the wisdom of Christ. We need your wisdom that we might discern which way to go. Lord, as our individuals here, as families here, but also as a church, give us your wisdom. Father, I pray that this week there would be breakthrough in situations, whether it comes to us or whether it comes through another person, but we would hear the word of wisdom that you have to give people. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we receive it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you right now that you're here. I thank you that we don't need to worry. Lord, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. But instead, we just need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will work out. And just like I shared at the start about that vision of us dancing with Jesus, there was such a grace on that dance. It was effortless. It was easy. Lord, your burden is easy. Your burden is light, your yoke is easy. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I shall give you rest. And I thank you, Lord, that we would enter into the rest of the Father, where it's not a striving, it's not a trying to work out steps, but it's just seeking first the kingdom of God. And as we do that, Lord, as we trust you with all our hearts, lean not on our own wisdom and understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will make our path straight. You will direct our steps. I feel like that's a word for some people here today. In Jesus' name, amen.